North of Argentina, the name is Salta. It's almost 1,000 miles from the capital city in Argentina. So God put in our heart to start a church planting movement there because we don't have a lot of church in Argentina. I remember the last time when we be here, we show a couple pictures about what we are doing there. And now we had a small video. It's an update about what is God doing in Salta. So you can see this short video and Amanda can share something about. That's our mission, plan, prepare, and provide.
Okay, this is the first church we planted in a neighborhood called Siglo 21. We had showed you this last time we were here. This is the last picture we actually showed you, and they actually had another anniversary of the church anniversary, their 7-year anniversary, which we got to be a part of. And this is our church that we're actually currently in, pastoring. This is the church. This is a picture when we just got back, and the Lord just started blessing the church so much. It started growing. As you can see, the place we're renting, we couldn't fit any more people in. This is a youth group, how it started out in that place. And the Lord provided us. Right now we're in a garage, in my mother-in-law's garage, actually, meeting because we need a bigger place. You can see even these last pictures, the church is growing so much, even the garage is being small for us. We had these past 2 years, we had over 3 different baptisms. These are a couple of the pictures of the baptisms together. And the special thing about this is Lucy's mom. Lucy was able to baptize his mom, which was such a blessing for all of us, even in the church and his family. And this is our youth group that we have now. So there's a ton of kids, teenagers. This was superhero night when we got to dress up like superheroes with them. And we also started a Sunday school in the church. I was able to have the blessing of being able to train some new Sunday school teachers there for the kids. And this is our church. It's actually one of the last pictures we took before we left to come to the States. And the Lord opened up some doors to be able to start in a new town. It's called Constitucion. And we're going to share a little bit about how we got there after the video. But as you can see, we're doing like a children's ministry every Saturday morning. And then we do soccer workshops because kids in Argentina love soccer. And we started doing youth outreach there once a month. We do different activities like games with them. And there's a huge need for them to listen to the gospel, hear the gospel, and families. And as Lucy said, we also, part of our mission is to prepare leaders, prepare pastors and future church leaders. So we have a Bible Institute that we're doing in the church every Friday night. And right now we're actually doing it in the garage too because the other building, we can't do it anymore, but there's huge, and there are a lot this year, there's more young people that are studying there. So we're really encouraged by that. And the other part of our mission is to provide help. So to other smaller churches in Salta and around. This past 2 years, we got to go to 3 different places. The first one is La Quiaca, which is in Salta, and it's just a very desert rural area. We're able to bring a bunch of clothes from the church that we had gotten together and preach the gospel there. And then we were able to go with even our church and a lot of the younger kids to a part of Salta called Rivadavia. We were able to bring a program to teach a lot of the adults there that have never learned, don't know how to read or write. So we were able to teach them how to read and write and preach the gospel and do activities. And the last place we were able to go is this place called Volcan Jujuy. It was a place that was devastated this past year through a huge mudslide. Nobody was aware anything happened, and just people devastated there, and we were able to do a bunch of youth outreach and preach the gospel, and also did different conferences there. And as you know, we also do our summer camps, which for us is in January. I know it sounds weird, but we had an amazing time this past year for the kids camp. We were able to bring a busload of kids from Rivadavia, that place that I was telling you about. really rural area. Kids that have never been out of Rivadavia. So they were in the city. They had a swimming pool. They were like the happiest kids in the world. So it was a huge blessing. And you were all part of that. So we wanted to thank you guys for that. But there was one other thing I did want to say before I keep going. This past year, a few months ago, actually this year, the government in Salta actually called up Lucio. And there's a lady there talking to him, and they said, you know, we have six community centers. In Salta, they have six community centers in just different parts of all over the capital city. And they said, you know, we heard that you had worked in a community center before with kids and with youth and with adults. And the first church that we started, actually, they lended us a space in a community center to do to start up the church because we had no place for meetings. And Lucy goes, yeah, of course, we worked in this one. Oh, because we heard so many things about you guys. We want to offer you the opportunity to be able to work in all six of those community centers. When can you start? And Lucio goes, well, you know that we preach the gospel, that, you know, our job, our ministry is to be able to share the gospel, to teach people about the Bible. And they go, yeah, we know that. That's okay. When can you start? And Lucio goes, all six? Yeah. When can you start? Can you do them all? We said, well, let's start one for now. So the Lord's opened up the doors to start in this new place called Constitucion, which was the third one there, where we started doing a children's ministry, which is just amazing because it's definitely a God thing in the fact that before we had even started working in the first church, one of the places that God placed on our hearts was to plant churches in strategic places in Salta. And each one of these community centers is the town over from the town that we had projected. That's where we wanted to go start a new church. So,
stand back here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I don't want to do this. So we were really excited about that, just seeing where God's leading and how He's opening up doors. And like Lucio says, sometimes in our ministry we feel like God's almost just pushing us all the time. Okay, here's another one. Here's another one. Here's another, keep going, because truly there's not enough churches in Salta. There's very few that are sound doctrinal churches that preach the word of God like it should be preached. And so we're excited. We have been training and discipling, especially young adults in our church now, that are actually helping out in a lot of these new ministries and got baptized this past year. A lot of people have gotten baptized, and many from Lucy's family, actually, his sister-in-law, his brother actually recently got baptized too, that he was able to baptize his own brother. So we were just blessed beyond belief, and we know that you guys are a huge part of that, so we just really, truly wanted to thank each and every one of you.
Thank you, and like, you see a lot of pictures for different activities, and maybe you think about how you do that, because it's a lot of, we have more pictures if you want to see, but the truth is, we only put in the God hands, and that's it. God, do the rest, and we are not alone. We had a team there. We know if you want to have great things to God, you need to raise people to think the same, the same vision. So we are not alone. We had a team there, and we are praying to God continue growing the ministry in Salta. And like Amanda say, you are part of all that. So thank you for your provision, because we feel like take care for you, and like Will and Carrie say, if I going down, you hold the ropes. So you was holding our ropes for 2 years almost. So thank you so much, and we are very glad to be with you today. Thank you. So we had two daughters. I want to share something. We don't talk about that, but I want to say, it's not only a man ministry, you know. I am the face in the ministry and preach and do a lot of stuff, but it's because I had a good wife with me. She loved God, and we had two beautiful daughters, Melissa and Madison. So maybe later you can know them.
See them,
okay. And we had a display there too. If you have question or you want to know more about the ministry, or maybe come with us to Salta. We will be glad to spend the time with you. Thank you. Well, this morning I have the It's hard for me, you know, because English is not my first language. So I will try to. So for that reason, Amanda is very close here to help me. But I make jokes about the Holy Spirit spoke me in Spanish, so I need to hear him translate for you and maybe take a time, okay? Well, if you can come with me to the Bible, to Joshua, I want to share this morning a couple of verses in Joshua chapter 24. And we will read about the Joshua last sermon. You know, this is the moment when Joshua is trying to say goodbye to the people. It was the last time. In that chapter, he said Joshua died with 110 years. So he's trying to give to the people the last sermon, a sermon or a message to encourage them to continue growing, to continue follow God. And we want to see that in this morning. So if you had your Bible, we want to find the verse. But before, we want to see who was Joshua. You know, Joshua, the name is Jehovah, it's salvation. And he was, I'm sorry with that. Wow. We had a small problem, I think. Don't care, I will read here. He was the Moses' successor, you know that? He was Moses' successor, and he born like a slave in Egypt. And he was one of the great generals in Israel. So when we talk about Joshua, we remember the story about he was one of the 12 spies. Remember that, no? And Joshua was a servant of Moses' servant. But when the book of Joshua finished, God said he was a Jehovah servant. But we're going to go now to the 24. This work? Oh, now that's better. So what does the book of Joshua teach us or talk about? Conquest of Canaan, about battles, about victory of the enemies, and distribution of the promised land. That's the book talk. And what's the book teach us? Well, it teach us about strength and courage, our need to serve the God. A good leader shall first be a good follower. You can be the first if you are not accustomed to follow. And God give the victory. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. So the last sermon, we're going to see three things about these sermons in the chapter 24. First, Joshua tried to give a review of the past. He talked about the past, all the story of Israel. And he said, okay, you need to review what God did in your life. But the second point is we need to renew the pact. We need to renew your commitment with God. You know what God did in the past, but you need to renew your commitment with God. And the third thing, he said, well, we need to record this point. We need to make a reminder in this day. So I'm going to read a couple of verses in chapter 24. So he started review the past of Israel. And the verse 3, he say, then I took your father, Abraham, from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descent and gave him Isaac. So he started talking about Abraham. You know the story about Abraham. God called him from the other side of the river, and Abraham left everything to follow God. So he tried to say, okay, you understand the obedience have or brought blessing in your life. So you need to remember that. The time when Abraham was obedient to God, God blessed him. So he tried to review the past and say, okay, the obedience brought the blessing. But in the chapter 4, he says, also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you, but I gave them into your hands that you might possess their land and destroy them from before you. So he's reviewed the past, and he say, remember, God is with you. The obedient have a blessing, but you need to remember too, I'm with you, I'm your protector, and the truth brought the protections. And the third thing he say about the remember the past or review the past is in the verse 13. He say, I have give you a land for which you did not labor, and city which you did not build, and you dwell in them, and you eat of the vineyard and olive groves which you did not plant. So he say, remember, like Abraham, he was obedient, and I brought the blessing. Remember, God was with you in the victory for your enemies. So the truth brought protection. But now he's talk about, okay, I give you something, and you never work for that. You eat for something you never planned. And that's remind the hope brought provisions. So Joshua is trying to put their mind in all the word God in the past and say, okay, you need to remember, God, it was with you. For that reason, he was with you now. So I think about sometimes we are in middle of the trials. I'm sorry. Sometimes we are in the middle of trials or tough times, you know. Maybe you had a health problem, or you had a economical problems, or different situation in your life, and you are thinking, okay, God, I can't do it more. I can continue growing. I can continue. I want to give up everything. And God say the same. You need to remember. Remember the past. Remember what God did in your life. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know something. If God did in the past, he can do it now. So Joshua tried to tell them, to the people, you need to encourage, you need to continue, you need to grow. Maybe I am left, maybe I will die, but you need to continue because God is with you. So he talked about, okay, you need to review the past. Remember, what's God doing in your life? What God doing in your life? But the second point, it's in the verse 14 and 15. He said, we need to renew the pact. Okay, you know what God do in the past. You know the power of God. You see God working in your life. But now you need to take a decision. You need to renew your pact. You need to renew your commitment with God. So he say in the verse 14 and 15, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the God which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And he say, okay, you know what God do in your life, what God did in your life. Now you need to renew your commitment with him. You need to remember what he did, but you need to know now God had a plan for your life. For that reason, you need to take a decision. Verse 15, and if it seem evil to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day who you will serve, whether the God which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the good of the Amorites, the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he say, okay, you need to choose. You need to put away the false God, and you need to choose who you want to serve or who you want to serve. And I'm thinking about in my life. I remember when I received Christ in my life, it was almost when I was 17, and it was in that summer camp. It was in World of Life in Argentina. And I remember I see the hand of God in all my life, because I grew up with my mom. It was a Christian, and she talked me about God all the time, you know. And if you're a son, you know what I mean. The mom is, okay, God, God, God. And I see the hand of God in my life, in my life. changed their life and changed my family. But in one moment, God confronted me and with his word, talking about, okay, you know something about God, but now you need to choose what is your God. And I think every day we have the same question in our life. Who you want to serve? You want to serve the Lord, or you want to serve your pleasures or the world? And Joshua talked with the Israel about this and say, hey, you need to decide. You know what God do in the past. You know the power of God. You know everything about God. But now you need to take a decision. You need to renew a decision in your life. And I remember a verse I would put here in a moment. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. It's talking, Apostle Paul talking about the Thessalonians. And he say about their testimony. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from the idols to serve the living and true God. So it's about the decisions. You know, maybe you received Christ when you was young, or maybe a couple months ago or years. But every day we need to renew our commitment with God. We need to renew. And 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, it's the verse they say, and Elijah come to all the people and say, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. It's talking about decision. And sometimes we come to the church, we are in the church, we love being in the church and worship, but in our heart, we never take the decision to serve the Lord. And sometimes we can feel like in this verse, they say, you're faltering between two opinions, one step in the world and one step in the church, or in your plans and in the God plans. And we need to take the decision. God, it's jealous. He don't want to share you. That's fine. With anybody, he want to have you 100%. So we need to take this decision, serve the Lord. And maybe you are thinking, okay, but I never preach in the church. I don't play guitar like the pastor, or I don't sing like a couple people here. How I can serve in this church? Well, I think you had many things to do. Like the pastor say, you can do a lot of things, invite people, share the gospel, give tracts. So we don't have excuse to say we can't serve the Lord. And serve the Lord is a privilege. Privilege? Okay, I have mine. It's a privilege. God don't need you, don't need me. But he wants to use you and use me because he's God. And Joshua talking to the people, he said, okay, remember what God doing. But now you need to renew your commitment with God. And the third thing he say, it's, well, now we need to record this point. We need to take a stone and remember this moment. You know, because it's so easy for us to forget our decisions. We had summer camp in Salta. Like you see in the picture, we had every summer, we had almost 150 kids. They come into the summer camp. We preach the gospel. We share the Bible. And the last day, we had a fire in the middle, and they take decision, you know. And I remember every year they come and they throw, because we had a stick, and they throw in the fire and they cry and they say, God, you can use me. But 2 months later, they are doing the same way. And the next year they come and they say the same, because it's so easy for us to forget our decision. So Joshua know that, and he say, okay, you need to remember what God did in the past. You need to renew your commitment with God. But you need to put make a mark, make something to remember you, your decision. And he take a stone, and he say in the verse 26 and 27, then Joshua wrote this word in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard here all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. Lest you deny your God. So he say, okay, you remember the past, you renew your commitment with God, but you need to put a witness. You need to put a witness to remember you, your decision in your life. And you know, some people put in the Bible, they grow in the Bible when they take some decision. I don't know what you want to do for remember you, but I think we need to make like a reminder in our life for all our decision. So that was not the first time Joshua said that. Remember when they threw the Jordan, they say the Bible in Joshua 4, verse 16 and 7, they throw the river, the Jordan River, and they take a stones to memorize. I will read, that he may be sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what does this stone mean to you? Then you shall answer then that the water of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the water of the Jordan were cut off. And that stone shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So we need to have memorial in our life. We need to have memorial. I don't know what kind of memorial. You can take a stone from the church and say, okay, this is remember the day when I take this decision. But we need to take decision every day in our life. And we need to put in our life memorial, witness, to remember us every day. Our decisions. So, like a conclusion, reviewing your life, what God did. I don't know. You can take a paper, not now, but in your home, and say, okay, God, I will put 5 or 10 things you do in the past in my life. When he saved you, when you maybe when God save you, or when God makes something in your life, you can put in a paper and say, okay, God, these 2 things or 5 things you make in my life. And praise God about that. But later you can say, okay, God, I know you do something in my life. You did a lot of stuff in my life. You can do it more. I want to serve you. I want to have the opportunity to shine and be alive in this world. I want to have the opportunity to be part of your work. So you can renew your commitment with God, and like the verse say, and choose, God, I want to serve you. And record this point, this moment, your decision. Make a mark. I don't know, put in your Bible or make a letter or something to remind you, you decide to serve the Lord. I will pray now and thank you for your time, and I will pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. It's not my words, your word, God. And we pray this morning for your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand everything, God. And we need to take every day's decision to serve you. Every day we need to take decision about we want to choose you and serve you, God. We pray for this beautiful church. We pray for the leadership. And thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.